order. Thank you. Call this meeting to order. Item 1, Treaty 6 land recognition. We would like to acknowledge that this meeting of the Students Association of McEwen University is taking place on the traditional territories of the people of the Treaty 6 region in central Alberta. The Students Association of McEwen University is situated in the center of what we call the City of Edmonton, which is called Amiskwichi Waskaigan or Beaver Hill House in Nehiyawiwin. This is the traditional home of the Nehiya and Michif, and meeting place for many Indigenous peoples, including the Ngawe, Siksika, Nakota Sioux, and other nations. Item 2, approvals. 2.1, we have a motion. Councillor Shepherd.
I move to approve the agenda for September 19th, 2018.
Thank you, Councillor. Do we have a second? Thank you, Councillor Millions. It has been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for September 19th, 2018. Is there any debate? The question is on the adoption of the motion to approve the agenda for September 19th, 2018. All those in favor? Thank you. And opposed? Motion carries. Item 2.2, we have a motion. Councillor Ruiz.
Thank you, Chair. I move to approve the minutes of July 18, 2018 and August 15, 2018.
Thank you, Councillor. And a second. Councillor Yanish, thank you. It has been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of July 18, 2018 and August 15, 2018. Is there any debate? The question is on the adoption of the motion to approve the minutes of July 18, 2018 and August 15, 2018. All those in favor? Thank you. And opposed? Motion carries. Before we get to presentations, I think the President is calling in. President, can you hear okay? Excellent. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Vancouver.
Fantastic. I'd say the weather is better there, but today was a nice day, so joke's on you. Item 3, presentations. I'm assuming Vice President of Operations, you're introducing the guest. Okay.
Chair. Today we have Patrick. He is here from MNP. They are our auditing firm. They audit our financial statements. And so he is here to do a presentation on the completed audit. The financial statements, and we'll be here to answer any questions. You received all of the information in your agenda package, so he will be going through that for us. And yeah, that's all I have. Take it away.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that introduction. So, as mentioned, my name is Patrick Moore. I am the audit partner that deals with the audit of SAMU. In my audit practice, I primarily deal with public sector organizations, not-for-profit entities, municipalities, school boards, and things like that. So this is the type of organization that I mostly deal with. For those of you that have been here for this presentation before in the past, as I've mentioned previously, SAMU sort of holds a special place in my heart as far as clients go. When I was in university, I was quite involved with student groups as well. So this has been kind of a nice natural fit for me in terms of an audit client. However, it's starting to feel more and more like it was a million years ago when I was sitting in your shoes on the other side of the table here, but I guess it wasn't so long. So for our agenda tonight, we will review some items that will be of interest to you as members of Student Council, being the audit objectives, the responsibilities, and then ultimately the status of the audit. Once we've discussed that, I'll provide a brief overview of some of the key items of the financial statements, just the highlights, and then from there we can address any questions that you might have. So I'd like to begin just by discussing why we are here in the first place. So the objective or the purpose of the audit ultimately is to enhance the confidence of the reader of your financial statements. And so for SAMU, of course, that would be primarily your student body, your members of this organization. The audit then is meant to assess whether or not the financial statements are fairly stated, are fairly presented, and our opinion provides a high level of assurance or a high level of confidence to the readers of your financial statements. In terms of audit responsibilities, it is sort of a three-legged stool involved in this audit process. It's not just me and my team on our own pounding away doing nerdy things in deep, dark rooms with boxes of information. First and foremost is student council involved in this process. So council is responsible for reviewing the statements, which we will do here tonight. Council would be also responsible for general oversight of SAMU and of SAMU's management to ensure that the strategic direction and the plans that you've set out are being executed appropriately. And then lastly, it would be the responsibility of council to be vigilant for any indicators or concerns that you might have with respect to matters of fraud or things like that that we should be discussing as part of our relationship. Secondly would be management, and in our process, that means that we primarily deal with Justin as well as with Gwen. Management is responsible for the numbers that go into the financial statements and the initial recording of those transactions. Management would also be responsible for establishing controls, policies, and procedures to put in place to ensure that the assets of SAMU are appropriately protected. Then lastly, as the auditor, MNP, or me in this case representing MNP, our responsibility is really pretty simple. That is to carry out the audit in accordance with Canadian auditing standards and to provide our opinion on the financial statements at the conclusion. So in terms of audit status, as you've probably guessed since we're here talking about this tonight, we have completed our audit for the June 30th, 2018 financial statements, and following the completion of some administrative matters, some signatures that we'll need to collect, we will be prepared to issue and finalize our audit report. For the current year, our audit report will provide a clean, unqualified opinion to the members of SAMU. That means that we don't have any modifiers to our report. It's a clean opinion, which is ultimately what you would like that to have. Part of our responsibility is to report to SAMU any areas where we think that controls could be enhanced. And we certainly strive to go above and beyond that responsibility to recommend any best practices or efficiencies, opportunities that we might see based on our experiences. A draft of that letter has been provided to management, but in terms of this discussion for tonight and what I would need to report to you as members of council, there were no issues that we identified in the course of the audit that need to be raised here for this meeting. As part of our audit, we would also report any adjusted and unadjusted differences to the interim financial statements that we would have received. A summary of those is included in the full version of the audit findings document that you were provided with. Overall, the adjusted differences related to certain items around accounting for health and dental matters, but were ultimately not significant to the final financial statements. And any unadjusted differences were not material, either individually or in aggregate, and therefore had no impact on our final audit report. So as a result, as mentioned, overall we concluded that the financial statements are fairly stated and our opinion on the statements then is a clean one. So from here, I would just like to touch on some of the highlights and key components of the financial statements themselves. These charts and graphs that we will look at just here briefly tonight contain exactly the same information as the audited financial statements. It's just presented in a slightly different way that maybe makes it a little bit more user-friendly. So we'll begin with the statement of financial position. This would provide some details around the assets and the liabilities of SAMU. Just remember that these items that we'll discuss are at a point in time. So in other words, these are the items at June 30th. So the balances would have changed between, you know, that point in time and today. So first of all, looking at current assets are items that will be turned into cash or used up within the next year. There was a decrease in current assets in the current year of about $3.5 million, largely due to a decrease in short-term investments. And those short-term investments would have been used to fund expenditures related to the building, of course. And we can see that then in the next column, looking at the capital assets. There was an increase in capital assets of about $5.9 million in the current year. Again, that primarily relates to the building. And as you would obviously be aware, we would expect those capital assets to continue to grow significantly into the next year, into 2019, as the building project then is ultimately completed. Current liabilities then represent amounts that are owed to other parties that will be paid or will be settled within the next year. There was an increase of about $1.1 million in accounts payable compared to the prior year, but ultimately primarily relating to timing differences and things of that nature. So then when we look at the overall net assets represents the equity in the organization. So in other words, what would be left over after all the liabilities were settled, what assets would be left. And so in total, the net assets of the organization are obviously very healthy, very positive. However, I do think it is important to point out that about 85% of that equity is either related to capital assets, so primarily the building, or is being internally restricted in the building fund, so for a very specific future use. There is only about $88,000 of unrestricted net assets. That's not a problem necessarily. That just means that most of the equity that's been built up within SAMU has been allocated for a specific purpose, whether that's the contingency fund or the building fund, as it may be. Looking then at the revenue and expenses of the organization, so of course the majority of SAMU's revenue comes from student fees as well as from health and dental fees. As note one to the financial statement indicates, SAMU is of course then dependent on the university as its primary source of revenue. And really what that means is because the revenue comes from students, without the university there is no SAMU. So that's the dependence that is being disclosed there. Overall, total revenue increased in the year by about 4% or $281,000. So looking then, at the statement of operations as a whole, as mentioned, revenue increased by about 4%. Expenses increased at about the same rate year over year. So as a result, SAMU generated a significant excess of revenue over expenditures. So in other words, a significant surplus for the year. However, again, that surplus has been earmarked primarily for specific programs such as the building fund, the health and dental reserve, and for future contingencies. So lastly then, looking at some of the cash flow highlights, so the ins and outs of the bank account, where did the cash actually come from, how was it generated, and what it was used for. So first of all, cash from operations would represent the cash generated from the day-to-day activities of SAMU. So, you know, the student fees that you would be generating, the programs you would be putting on, things like that. So cash from operations generated a cash inflow of about $2 million. That increase over the prior year really relates to the change in accounts payable that I mentioned previously. So in other words, because there was a more amount in accounts payable at year end, there was also more cash available at year end because it hadn't been converted to pay off those balances as of yet. Looking then, at the cash from investing activities. So as mentioned, there was investments that were used to make purchases of capital assets. So in total, there was net investments of about $3.5 million that were used up to acquire capital assets. The remaining balance, which is that last significant blue bar of almost $6 million, 5.9 as I mentioned, that would have been paid using just cash from general operations out of the general bank account. So as a result, year over year, there was a total decrease in cash of about $324,000. So that covers the highlights of the audit process itself, as well as some key components of the financial statements. So from there, I would open it up to any questions that you might have or clarifications that I can provide. Please.
Thank you, Patrick. Sorry. I've raised my placard, but I guess it's not necessary. Just in reference to, this is page 4 of the financial statements, the statement of cash flow.
Yes.
I'm hoping for some clarification because it does say that the organization has a surplus of approximately $1 million, and it was the same the year prior. If you wouldn't mind, just clarifying what that $1 million entails, what is made up in that $1 million, and how we reach that.
So are you, excuse me, on page 4, you're referring to the bottom line where it says cash resources end of year?
Yes.
Okay, so that's really very straightforward. So that line is literally the cash in the bank at the end of the year, at the end of June 30th for SAMU. So the way that that would have been generated would have been through all the history of SAMU. There's been, you know, surpluses of cash year over year that are, you know, left over once the expenses are paid. So for the current year, as I had mentioned, that cash actually went down a little bit. So at the end of 2017, there was about $1.2 million available in the bank. There was $324,000 used up throughout the year of 2018, leaving that balance of $960,000 at the end of the year. So that change then is the summation of, you know, all those things that I mentioned. So the cash from operations, the net disposal of investments, and then really the purchase of capital assets is the primary driver in that decrease in cash in the year.
Okay. So just to clarify, that also includes the restricted funds and et cetera within that 900?
For sure. Absolutely. That's right. Yep. That's everything.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Yes.
Is it normal for organizations to have that sum of money sitting there? And is that literally just a big lump of cash assets?
So, excuse me. So, is it normal? I guess there's not an easy answer to that question. SAMU's a little different than a lot of other public sector, not-for-profit organizations that I would work with, in that you have a massive project that's going on right now, being the construction of that building. So there are some very significant cash requirements coming up for that, not only for the development of the building, but the ongoing operation of the building, you know, every year into the future. So when I look at this, although there's a significant balance of cash in the bank, you know, when we look further down that page on the statement of financial position, you know, a significant amount of that is restricted for the building fund or the contingency fund. You know, those net assets are not available just for general day-to-day use. They've been allocated for a specific purpose. So as to whether or not it's normal, I don't know that there's an easy answer to that, but I think I would say it's healthy or it's necessary for this organization because of the future commitments that you've entered into. In terms of whether or not that's cash that's actually in the bank, so the investment of $5.2 million that you would see just below is sort of the balance of cash that would be generating a higher return. The amount of $960,000 really would be primarily cash in a bank. However, I don't know that that's necessarily of concern to me either, because the day-to-day cash needs of the organization are also significant. You know, there's significant programs, significant payroll, significant building-relating expenses. So it's not as though that cash is just sitting there unused, I guess, to answer your question. Does that help clarify that?
It does, yeah.
Anything further? Okay, well, if there's no other questions, thank you for having me here tonight. Certainly, I would just close by saying as auditors and part of this relationship, certainly we are always available should anything arise during the course of the year. We're happy to attend meetings or provide additional clarifications as necessary. My contact information is there and available, or your VP Ops and Finance certainly also has a direct link to me regularly, so don't hesitate to reach out if there's anything further that, that we can assist with.
Thank you.
All right, councillors. I think I said this last year, but I think that's one of the better audit presentations that I ever sit in on. You guys are lucky to have Patrick and MNP, so present it in an interesting way. And you get about twice as many questions as a normal audit meeting, I guess. So. Item 4, for information. Item 4.1, reports. 4.1.1, president, any oral supplements? President, item 412, Vice President Academic, any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. On Monday, I mentioned in my report that I held the textbook expenditure campaign graph project on Monday. I haven't had an opportunity to go over the data, but we had a pretty good turnout from students. We probably had, just by guessing, probably about 150 to 200 participants, so I look forward to compiling that data and seeing what comes of it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Item 413, Vice President External, any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Last Thursday, I was interviewed on Alberta Primetime on behalf of CAUSE talking about tuition, mental health, and student employment. That aired last Friday, and then that's it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
And I also, this Tuesday, the president and I participated in rewriting the CAUSE bylaws, or amending them, I guess, to present the next CAUSE meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. 414, Vice President Operations and Finance, any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I attended the McEwen Committee on Internationalization earlier this morning. They were setting their strategic direction as a committee for the year. So they were working with the new institution strategic plan framework to see where international efforts in McEwen International can best fit within that plan. It was my first meeting, so I look forward to continuing to report on it in future. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. 415, Vice President, Student Life. Any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Even though the weather decided to play some cruel tricks on us, we had Fall Fest this past week, which huge thanks to the staff and rest of the team for sticking it out and braving the cold and making sure that all of the students had a wonderful experience with our largest event of the year. So I'm really glad that it went off with relatively no hitches except for the weather. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The audit report, item 416, is in your package for your information. Item 42, Executive Committee minutes. The minutes of August 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, and September 5th, 2018 are provided in your package. For your information, item 5, question period. No written questions this time around, so we'll move to oral questions. Okay, questions? Councillor Masson? Thank you, Councillor. Vice President?
Sure. Well, since it's the first time that, in my knowledge, that we've kind of done something more broadly, I can't comment on the, exactly on the differences and potential benefits, but I guess from my point of view, it kind of provided more of a visual representation on a graph. As to how much students were spending per faculty versus the individual ones that we used to do, where the student would hold up a sign that said, I spent X on textbooks when I could have spent it on Y, which were beneficial and did personalize it. However, that data, or wasn't even really data, it was kind of more of an awareness campaign in this goal of the textbook expenditure graph was to hopefully compile something a little bit more substantial.
Thank you, Vice President. Councillor Masson, anything further?
Is there, this is another question for the feedback minute. Do you think there is a way that you will get that personal interaction with the students to kind of make up the fact that they would like to see you?
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Vice President?
Thank you, Chair. I think that by spending, you know, the 5 hours on that Monday out at my project and engaging with students, I do think that that was a beneficial way to engage with students on that subject matter. I did have a lot of conversations with students about how much they were spending, what they were spending it on, and if they had any ideas on things that could potentially reduce the prices of textbooks. We had some really thoughtful conversations with students of varying different programs. So in my eyes, I thought that it was successful in that matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Vice President. Councillor Masson, anything further?
I have another question for the VP of Operation and Finance, just regarding the building. Do you have a completion date approximate? Time to not find in the official report.
Thank you, Councillor. Vice President?
Thank you, Chair. If Councillor Masson is referring to an in-camera item that was discussed at the last meeting, given the building update that was provided, I think it is best to discuss with Councillor Masson one-on-one outside of this meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Vice President. Councillor Masson, anything further?
No, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Other questions? Councillor Stewart?
I have a question for the President. Possible. I was curious if they would be able to provide any information at this time on the CASA or the CASA policies about undergrad research, financial aid, and post-secondary data, so especially around undergraduate research, and what those policies would or consist of at the moment, or what they're about.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Stewart. President?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, so with the CASA policies in particular, the financial aid policies around the Repayment Assistance Program, which is a federal program that's jointly operated with the provinces that allow students to not repay their loans until post-graduation until they make $25,000 a year. We're looking at kind of acknowledging some of the gaps in that program and looking at advocating on some items that have been kind of left out. In particular, we're looking at things like when students take time off to be parents, for example, if they have a child, how that's impacted students with disabilities when they take leave, how that's impacted, and also looking at the $25,000 limit in particular for itself, looking at it, whether or not that's a reasonable number for us to be landing on as a point of, as a cutoff, essentially. For the undergraduate research policy, that's obviously something that we focus on at McEwen, and essentially this is kind of promoting opportunities for undergraduate research and ensuring that we're not pigeonholing undergraduates or research just as institutions that provide graduate opportunities. With post-secondary data, that particular piece is around how we don't have any kind of cohesive pan-Canadian or national body that collects data on post-secondary institutions, so we don't have have any body that can tell us, you know, what students pay for tuition in Ontario compared to Alberta compared to Saskatchewan. You have to gather those particular students independently and do your own comparison. There's also nothing to compare, for example, what a BA means in Alberta versus in Saskatchewan versus in Ontario, so on and so forth. So there's really no way to kind of measure you know, success or look at strategies that are working in other jurisdictions. And so what we're looking at doing is kind of advocating for some kind of Tasmanian strategy. We're looking at bringing in Statistics Canada and having them kind of be the body that focuses on this. So we're looking at whether or not it's viable for us to be lobbying the government to make any kind of mandatory reporting mechanisms. But, you know, obviously that's going to have to happen in conjunction with the provinces. So those are things that are kind of being worked on at the moment. But as updates are available, I can help provide those to you, councillors who are interested.
Thank you, President. Councillor Stewart, anything further?
No, just thank you very much. That sounds really exciting.
Thank you, councillor. Other questions? Councillors? Councillor Strayer?
Thank you, Chair. This question is for the VP of Academic. Obviously, open education resources is a big part of your portfolio. Can you tell me more about the OER fellowship program, just in a little bit more detail?
Thank you, Councillor. Vice President?
Thank you, Chair. So at this time, I was just notified that it would be going forward. I don't have a ton of details at the moment. But essentially what it is it's going to be similar to a research grant that faculty can apply for who are interested in developing something that is open access, either open access within the McEwen community or open access outside of the community as well. That answers your question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Vice President. Councillor Strayer, anything further?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just a quick follow-up question. VP of Academic, they didn't ask you specifically or tell you specifically which departments would be doing this fellowship program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Vice President?
No, I don't have that information at the time. I'm not sure if it's going to be like targeted at a certain department or faculty first or if it's kind of just going to be who's interested to start with. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Vice President. Councillor Strayer, anything further?
No, OER is a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Councillors? Okay. Item 6, in camera period, nothing for that today. Item 7, motions and business orders of the day, nothing there either. 8, consultation, nothing there. Item 9, evaluation, we'll pass out the forms.
Until I
council, council next month.
He's a tall dude.
Literally having a day of a meeting.
So we have this council for 1 month, and then a new one in November. When is the training again? I know, I've got it in my calendar. So we're going to have one meeting before the... Or is it October? Oh,
27.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So looking forward to it.
Yeah. You don't have to be here this time.
No. Probably get. I might come Sunday though.
Counselors, is anyone still filling out the form? Nobody listens.
Get a pound of gravel and push it.
Thank you. Order. Thank you. Item 10, recognition. Vice President.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to recognize my team, everyone in the executives that stuck it out often until like 10 o'clock at night, moving all of the Fall Fest things in the freezing cold and ensuring that we had an excellent program for the students. So just a huge round of applause for those fine folks.
Councillor Masso.
I would like to thank Patrick. He's gone. That's okay anyway. For the added grasp from the visuals beneficial. And I would like to thank Councillor Marler because I saw him out during the welcome and being in there for Fall Fest and stuff. So good job being there and out there. Yeah.
Vice President.
Thank you, Chair. I would, along with Fall Fest, I would like to recognize two members of the university community who helped us make some adjustments to allow Fall Fest to happen inside on that Thursday. So John McGrath, who is the Vice President of Peoples and Resource and People, and Chris Brockman, the, he oversees campus services. These two individuals, we called on them very last minute, and they were made huge accommodations to allow us to have that space. So I want to recognize them here in a formal setting to thank them for that.
Councillor Ruiz.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to also recognize our guest, Emily Patrick, for having done an excellent presentation like always. And I am pretty happy to see that we have some more guests and they are looking to potentially run into council. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Stewart.
I would just like to recognize our Vice President Academic for her work on the, I guess, the open resources and like, as well as the event on Monday, I believe, that she ran to accumulate data to help support that cause.
Other recognition, Vice President?
Thank you. chair. I'd also just like to recognize Mike and Natalie, the events team, who worked tirelessly as well to make all that happen.
Other recognition? Okay. Item 11, adjournment. We have a motion. Anyone who hasn't made a motion? Vice President?
I'd like to move to adjourn.
Thank you. That motion only requires one mover and is not debatable. The motion is to adjourn. All those in favor? Thank you. And opposed? Motion carries. This meeting is adjourned.